Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life Journeys with Serena. My name is Serena, and I am here live with you all today. Happy Monday. Oh my gosh, wow, what a big weekend we had. I don't know about you all, but it was, we finally got some cooler weather here in the Bay Area, which I am so grateful for. We had the biggest heat wave last week, and we are finally back down to our wonderful 60s and 70s, which makes me so happy. And we actually also had Fleet Week this weekend in San Francisco with the Blue Angels here. And so it was a lot of high energy and big loud noises, and everyone was really excited. And, you know, it's always fun. And oh my gosh, October is just flying by. I can't believe we are already on October 14th. It is soaring by. We're going to be in 2025 before we know it. And we have a big week coming up this week too. We have a new moon happening on Thursday, which I always love the energy of the new moon. I always feel like it's such a wonderful opportunity to reset and center ourselves. And I hope that you all are looking forward to it too. And for all of you guys out on the East Coast, I just want to say I hope you are all safe. I hope you are all recovering from Helene and Milton, and I just want to send out loving and healing energy to you all. And if you'd like any specific energy or thoughts your way, go ahead and just post it in the chat room, and I'd be happy to take a moment and really focus on you all, because I know we all need all the support that we can get right now, especially for those of us who are dealing with all of these natural disasters and all of these escalations that we never, it's escalating on a scale we have never seen before. So we won't need to get into all of that right now, but I just wanted to say hi to you all. And for those of you who haven't jumped into the chat room before, I will tell you how. You just need to go to 12radio.com, and then on the left-hand side of the screen, you'll see a chat button, and that will redirect you to our Facebook group. And I'm going into it right now, right with you guys. And if you head into our Facebook group, if you haven't joined before, go ahead and just request, and I'll make sure to get you in. And you will see my banner right at the top with me on the beach with my pup, and you'll be able to leave a comment, and I'll be make sure to be checking in on you guys throughout the show. And Renee is here. Hi, Renee. So glad that you're making it live. Welcome. Happy Monday. So glad to have you here. And yeah, I'm going to jump right into doing a little reading for everyone. I like to check in with energy to see what messages will be most important for people to hear before I jump on live with you guys. And I had a really powerful message come through that made me smile, and I love that I get to share this with you all today. And the message that was loud and clear was that all of our relationships with intuition, with our guts, with what we know to be true, should be trusted. If anyone is struggling with questioning your intuition, questioning your gut, you're not sure if this is the right path for you, or you're not sure if you're receiving the message loud and clear, or if there's anything muddled there, let that worry go and trust yourself. There is so much power in our ability to trust our own intuition, and we all should rely on it a lot more. And I love that that's the message that I get to share with you all today. And if anyone would like a specific reading for anything going on in their lives, a general reading, go ahead and just leave it in the comments and I'll make sure to check in with you guys and I'll make sure to get that reading to you. And so the big news over here is that I'm in the 7th month of my pregnancy. And gosh, I am really starting to feel all the aches and the pains of the third trimester. And wow, it's something that I don't think anyone can ever anticipate for. Like, you can't ever plan it or be truly prepared until you start to experience it. And something that's become a huge part of my days that I never would have anticipated is prenatal carpal tunnel. I started feeling the pins and needles in my fingers and my hands maybe 2 months ago. But it was the kind of thing where I'd wake up because my hands had fallen asleep, and I'd sit up in bed, and after a minute or so of having my head higher than my heart, I was able to get the circulation back and fall back asleep really easily, and it didn't bother me too much. But now that I'm in the final stretch, my fingers are numb all day. I've broken so many plates and cups because my hands are just weaker, and I'm waking up every 2 hours or so with this searing pain in my hands, and I feel like it isn't. I like all the things that I choose to talk about on this show, it's one of those things that just isn't talked about enough with women's experience in pregnancy. And 1 in 4 women apparently experience this prenatal carpal tunnel in pregnancy, which 25%, that's a pretty significant number. And it actually happens because when you're pregnant, your blood volume doubles. It actually doubles. And that whole process widens our blood vessels and it pinches the nerves in our wrist. So that's one factor, but it's also a result of our increasing hormones. And this one is specifically the hormone called relaxin, which also it loosens the ligaments in your wrists and in your pelvis, which also pinches the nerves in your wrist and leads to your hands falling asleep and having a harder time with blood flow and circulation. And then there's water retention, and there's so many different, it's the same reason why your feet swell up. And there's so many small physical changes that happen throughout pregnancy that you don't really think about how they're actually going to impact you until you are in the middle of it. And on top of all of that, my limbs are not the priority right now. My body has such a clear priority, which is protect and heal and keep this baby safe. And that is the priority, is making sure that he is healthy, making sure that he has all the blood he needs, and my fingertips are no longer important. So it is a massive shift, and it's incredible the things that our body is able to do. Like the fact that the reason why we have increased relaxin as a hormone that increases during pregnancy is the reason why we're able to open our pelvis is able to open during childbirth. It's everything gets a little looser and our bones are able to move differently. But it's also the reason why, after you're sitting for a longer period of time, you can experience pain in your pelvic bone once you're in the third trimester. So believe it or not, I'm standing up recording this today because, gosh, there's a lot of standing and pacing going on, and sitting on that exercise ball is the lifesaver. But overall, everything is just a bit looser, and everything is pinching, and it is beautiful what our bodies are able to do, but it's also a challenge. And anyways, I'm going into all of this because carpal tunnel has been driving me crazy and it's been keeping me up all night, but it's also brought up a couple of really interesting points for me that I feel like sums up a lot of the things that I talk about here. And I love it when my life presents me with so many real concrete examples of the things that I'm always talking about. And It just makes me so happy to be able to share that with you all. But my experience lately is I'm waking up every 2 hours or so every night because my hands fall asleep and they'll start to throb. And that throbbing, painful sensation wakes me up. And so then I'll get up and I'll ice my wrists and I'll pace the house for about 30 minutes. And then the pain will ease up enough for me to go back to sleep. And then I'll sleep for about 2 hours and I'll do it all again. And this all started a few weeks ago. And on maybe the second or third night of me waking up every 2 hours, maybe every hour and a half, and I was just feeling so defeated and so angry. I was so mad and I was so tired. I actually had my first dream of my son. And I've been waiting and waiting to dream about him. I talk to him all the time. We are always chatting. We are always interacting in some way. I'm at the point where I can, if he starts, if his little foot pokes itself out right below my rib cage, I'm able to kind of push it back a little bit, and then we have a little interaction where I feel him pushing up against my hand, and we the amount of interaction that we actually have is so incredible, and I feel so connected to him. And I connect with his energy around the clock all the time. I feel like I'm already getting to know him so well, and I've just been waiting for these dreams to come in because I know they're coming. I've known for so long that I will at some point start to dream about him and he will show up in my dreams. I finally had my first dream with him a few nights into this new development of carpal tunnel. And it was so simple and it was so beautiful. It was a really short dream. And I was just sitting in our living room breastfeeding him. But I got to see his face and I got to see his eyes. And it was such a magical moment. And when I woke up, I knew that he had sent me this dream as a reminder that he is so close, that I'm so close to finally meeting him. And it really felt like he was sending me a little message saying, like, don't worry, Mama, I'm coming. I'll be there soon. It really was so powerful. And there's something really powerful about this connection that I have with him. And it just reminded me that in those moments when you're truly feeling defeated, or feeling like you can't do something, or feeling like you just, there's, why would you go on? Why would you keep pushing? Why would you keep working so hard? In those really low moments, your motivation will show up when it's truly needed. Like, I had been so worried about how I was going to go through the next 2 months like this. I felt like a zombie going through my days. I would wake up crying because I just wanted to sleep and I just couldn't sleep, and naps were just as painful. And so I felt like I just wasn't able to sleep and I wasn't able to rest in the way that I knew my body truly needed. And the whole time I kept telling myself, I'm doing this for him, right? I brought in a new mantra that my body is built and designed to be able to carry and birth this baby exactly as he needs. I kept repeating this mantra over and over again. I knew why I was doing this, but it felt like such a logical and mental motivation when I was just emotionally and physically not at the same point. I was just so emotionally drained, and I just didn't have the energy to pull in that emotional side of my motivation. And it's so beautiful that my wonderful baby showing up in my dreams gave me that very raw and emotional motivation that I knew I was lacking. And now, over a week later, it really feels like this incredible boost. It feels like a huge surge of energy and just a constant reminder that I can do this. He and I are in this together. I'm almost through it. He's going to be here soon. There is an end to this. There's an end to this discomfort. Now, I will not be sleeping more when he's here. And in a way, it does feel like preparation for the newborn stage. But at least I will have that immediate motivation of him being the one to keep me up instead of pins and needles in my hands and pain. In that way, it'll be a lot more rewarding to get up and take care of him. But this idea that the motivation or the right message or reminder will show up exactly when it's needed, it can be so hard to rely on. And it isn't something that crossed my mind at all in those first few days before the dream came in when I was really struggling. It wasn't something that I was waiting for. And it's so hard to shift our minds to optimism or to positivity when we're feeling so defeated or when we're so tired. And regardless of what the situation is, I know that motivation will show up when you most need it. And you don't need to be sitting there waiting for it, or even you don't even need to believe that it will show up. I wasn't sitting there saying, okay, my motivation is coming. I can do this. My motivation is coming. I was sitting there saying, how the hell am I going to get through these next few weeks? This is terrible. You don't have to be sitting there saying, like, sitting in optimism to be able to receive this message. You don't need to be sitting there knowing it will show up. You don't need to be optimistic about it, but you do need to keep your eyes open, right? You do need to be able to spot it, to be able to see it, and to receive it. Because while I know that motivation shows up when it's most needed, it's absolutely possible to be closed off and to never see it or ne to never be open to it. And I could have so easily woken up after having that dream and just slid straight into being angry about my hands hurting again and that I was up again and that I had to pace again and that I was awake again and all I wanted to do was sleep, and I would have forgotten the dream. And it's not that I was sitting there waiting for the dream to show up. I wasn't sitting there saying, when is my motivation coming? I was really not optimistic about how I was going to get through the next few months. But I had an open mind enough that I was able to perceive the dream. And I think that's the really important key, is even when you can't find optimism, even when you can't find that root of positivity, or you can't feel motivated, and you're really just struggling to find any sort of positivity, any sort of goodness in your situation, you are still capable of receiving that motivation. As long as you keep your eyes open, as long as you focus enough on the opportunity for positivity to come in, that really feels like the key in all of this. You don't need to be sitting there saying, gosh, I'm waiting, I'm ready, I'm waiting, I'm ready. You absolutely do, though, need to be open enough to receive it. And this really does lead me into my next point about this whole carpal tunnel experience. And yeah, I'm going to keep talking about it because it has been such a huge part of my life over the past couple of weeks. But yesterday, I had a really long day. I had a wonderful day. It was incredible. But, I work from home. I'm just talking to you guys on one to listen throughout my day, and I'm, editing books, and I'm sitting here hanging out with my beautiful familiars, my wonderful pets, and I'm being pregnant. I spend most of my time at home in my garden and just loving on my home. I'm definitely a thriving introvert. So I went and had a very active social day yesterday, which is always a wonderful, refreshing, different experience. But I always come home so tired. And I've also been trying to walk as much as possible. And I ended up doing like a 7 mile hike in San Francisco with some of my family through the absolutely gorgeous Presidio. It's one of my favorite loops that I used to do all the time when I lived in the city. And like I was saying earlier, it was Fleet Week. So the city was packed full of sailors and tourists, and we had the Blue Angels and that came to perform over the bay. And so there was lots of traffic and lots of people. But in the middle of our hike that we were doing, we were able to find a really great spot on this trail where we could actually see the show over Alcatraz. It ended up being such a wonderful day. The weather was perfect. We had a great time. But I was so tired when I got home. My hands were hurting already, so I knew it was going to be a really long and painful night. And I was already being negative about it by the time I fell into bed. And I actually only made it about an hour and a half before I woke up to my hands throbbing. And so I went and I grabbed the ice pack. I stomped around the house until the pain went away. I was so mad and I was just so tired. And I just wanted to sleep. I mean, I was so angry. And I immediately started thinking about how the whole night was going to be terrible. I was so stuck on this idea that I wasn't going to be able to go back to sleep at all. And that I was never going to feel rested, and it was just going to be a long ass night of waking up every 30 minutes. I'm thinking of all the worst case scenarios and basically stuck on every possible negative thought that I could have. And you all know how it goes when that negativity starts, right? Negativity feeds itself so well. It all just escalates and spirals and builds upon itself until it's this huge negativity monster that you just feel like you have no chance of fighting off. And oftentimes will then just submit to it. And it's dangerous because negativity, it's always the easiest first step. It's always that first thing that presents itself, saying, oh, well, you could just complain about it. Oh, well, you could just realize how this is such a big pattern and always happens to you. Oh, well, you could just focus on this so much and sit in this negativity and this anger. And it's always that first thing that's offered to us on our subconscious, it's always that first thing that's presented. And so it's often the first thing we go to or we fall back on. And that's exactly what I did last night. I fell straight into the negativity monster. And so after stomping around, and I literally mean I was stomping around my house, the negativity was fully embodied in my entire body in every way that it possibly could be. I was stomping around my house for maybe 30 minutes. I finally went back to bed when my hands stopped throbbing and I really grumpily fell back asleep. And then what happened 2 hours later? I was up. My hands were hurting. I was angry about it. I got up, grabbed the ice, started stomping again. And about halfway through my stomping session in the kitchen, I realized how unfair this was to my kiddo, to the beautiful baby boy who showed up in my dreams, who's experiencing all of this with me. Right? It literally stopped me in my tracks when I realized that he is absolutely feeling all of this anger and all of this defeat. And it snapped me away from that big ne negativity monster so fast. And this is when I feel like I almost have a little cheat sheet way out of things like negativity, because I can't be selfish. And so often it's so much easier for us to choose a different, harder path for other people than it is to choose that same harder path for ourselves. Because I did not choose to stop the negativity last night for myself. I chose to stop that negativity last night for my kid. Because he and I are experiencing everything right now, one and the same. We are sharing all of our energy. And so we don't, all of us definitely don't have that immediate grace of choosing to do something that is so healing and helpful for ourselves for the sake of someone else. Because it's so much easier to choose a better, harder option for other people than it is for ourselves. But if we're able to shift out of negativity and into gratitude, for whatever reason, whether that's for yourself or for somebody else, for whatever reason, the reason doesn't really matter. If you're doing it for yourself, it just may take a little longer for you to make that choice, and that's fine. But if you're able to shift out of that negativity and into gratitude, it is the hardest step to make, but it is the biggest one that you can take. And in that moment last night, when I was snapped away from that giant ball of negativity, it really hit me. It was, I have 6 more weeks of this, so I had better find another way to get through it without putting myself and my kid through so much anger and so much negativity. And so I shifted into gratitude, which is always my first defense against negativity. It always is. I chose to focus on how grateful I am that my body is capable of housing and eventually birthing this baby. I focused on how grateful I am that he is safe and that he's healthy. I thought about how grateful I am for my husband and all the sacrifices that he's already making as we prepare for parenthood, and how supported I feel and how safe I feel. And the list went on and on. It really did. I was shocked at how many things I had to be grateful for while I was pacing through my house and icing my hands and easing the pain. And it shocked me at how easy it was to relax into this gratitude. And then I found myself actually being grateful that even though I'm up every 2 hours, every time I go back to sleep, I fall asleep easily. I don't struggle to fall back asleep. I'm able to drift off. And then the focus became the fact that there is a clear deadline. There's a really solid ending to this discomfort for me. That once we have this baby and begin this next stage of our lives, that carpal tunnel that is driving me crazy right now and is impacting my life so much, it'll go away. As it does with all pregnant women who experience prenatal carpal tunnel, within 24 hours of having your baby, most of the pain's gone and all of it is gone within a few weeks. Which means I'll be able to focus entirely on this beautiful baby who's about to come into my life. And so I kept pacing last night and I kept icing my hands. And as I focused on this giant list of things that I'm grateful for, I found that the pain that usually takes 30, 45 minutes to go away eased a lot faster. And in just 20 minutes, I was back in bed and easily falling back asleep. And then, like clockwork, I was up 2 hours later, as I have been for the past few weeks. Only this time, I didn't hem and haw about getting out of bed. I rolled out of bed, since it's the only way I can get up these days, is I'm very much flopping out of bed as gracefully as I possibly can. And I grabbed my ice and I really peacefully walked around my house for 15 minutes or so. This time, focusing on how grateful I am for this house and for how much I love this space that I'm in and that I feel so safe here. And it only took about 10 to 15 minutes of focusing entirely on gratitude and love and fighting off that negativity monster who lurked. His head. He was lurking there every once in a while, threatening every once in a while, offering up that easy option of you could so easily just be angry. But I chose to continue to focus on love and gratitude, and I was back in bed in about 15 minutes. The fastest it's ever taken me to ease that throbbing pain in my hands and be to the point that I'm able to fall back asleep. And it, happened three more times last night. And I was never able to sleep for longer than 2 hours. I think I've accepted that that's just what the next few weeks of my life is going to be like. But I woke up this morning I felt so peaceful and I felt so much more rested than I have over the past few weeks. And it felt so powerful. It felt truly powerful, and it really is a powerful experience. And I've talked a lot about shifting out of fear or negativity and choosing to shift into gratitude before on the show. And I really do believe that it's one of the most impactful first steps that you can take out of passive negativity and into active positivity. And I just love how much of a concrete example this is for this exercise and how it just showed up in my life as you're talking about this all the time, and here's a really concrete way that you can practice it. And a very real aspect of my experience with all of this last night is that you aren't always going to catch it right away. Right? I went through nearly a full hour of fully feeding that negativity monster, of fully spiraling into negativity before I caught it. Well, really, I went for a good 45 minutes and then slept and then woke up and did it again and then caught it, right? So it isn't something that will always happen quickly. It takes practice. And I practice this all the time, but it still takes me time. And sometimes it'll take longer. And I think if you think about how a really hard day feels, where everything just feels exhausting and nothing is going your way, and everything feels like an uphill battle, right? It can take forever to shift out of that negativity and into gratitude because it takes a moment of catching it. But once you do, it really is remarkable the physical change that you feel. And at that point, it doesn't matter how long it takes you to catch it. It doesn't matter how long it actually takes for you to recognize that you have the option to choose something different. Right? By focusing on gratitude and shifting out of that negativity, choosing to focus on gratitude, the physical changes in your body will show up the same way that I was able to ease that throbbing pain in my hands in half the time that it's always taken me is not a coincidence. Focusing on gratitude literally lightens your body, right? That ache in your neck that's been driving you crazy all day, it may ease up after just shifting into gratitude. Or that headache that no matter how much water or painkillers you take, it still is there. It hasn't been able to go away. It maybe it'll start to fade. And shifting into gratitude doesn't always have this physical effect. But when it does, oh my gosh, it is so powerful and so beautiful. And goodness. If that was talked about as a part of medicine, if that was talked about as an option to ease your pain and ease your suffering, because by focusing on negativity, think about how much tension you're holding in your body. Think about how your physical posture changes. It's incredible. It really is. The negativity that you get stuck in, that you really It's such a monster. This idea of a negativity monster, I think, is maybe the best visual because it's this looming monster that is feel it feels inescapable. And it's really easy to fall into. And it's the easy path when the harder path is choosing gratitude, choosing positivity. But it results in your body lightening. and your back pain easing up a little, and you being able to sleep more easily. Like, it is incredible the impact that it can have. And okay, before I go into talking about all these other perspective shifts and how powerful they can be, let me check in with you guys in the chat room and see how everyone's doing. Let's see. Oh, sorry, hold on. I have to refresh the page. And then once I find you guys, oh, Quelly is here. Hi, my dear. Oh, you made it through the storm. You were in my thoughts. I'm so glad that all is well. And thank you for your wonderful, loving energy. I really appreciate it. And Lori Love, hi, my dear. Thank you for being here. Your show earlier was incredible. And Tara, happy Thanksgiving, happy autumn. Thank you for being here, Tara. I love this season. It makes me so happy. And I'm so glad that I'm able to go through this third trimester in my favorite season. And it just feels like such a quiet, peaceful time where I'm able to truly go inwards when I feel like I would be fighting against the season if I felt like if I was in my third trimester in spring or summer. And maybe at some point I will have a spring or summer baby, but there is something so calming and grounding about being in this fall season as we're shifting into slower, shorter days. And maybe it's because I'm a Sagittarius. Maybe it's because it's just what home feels like to me. But I absolutely love this season. But thinking more about perspective shifts, because that's truly what shifting into gratitude is. It's shifting your perspective. That's exactly what happened with me last night, is I shifted out of fear and shifted out of negativity and exhaustion into I shifted into gratitude and positivity and love. And when we think about pregnancy, and when we think about labor, and when we think really when we think about so many of the things we experience as women, whether that is pregnancy or menstrual cycles or menopause. And again, this is something I talk about all the time here. I love talking about this. There's so much taboo within this. There's so much fear. There's so much shame around so many of the things that we as women experience. Whether that's getting your first period or struggling with your menstrual cycle or struggling through menopause or struggling through pregnancy, we're not supposed to share these struggles with society. And when we talk about perspective shifts, and for me, this is something I'm focusing on so much right now because I am doing everything I can to shift my perspective when it comes to labor. I think it's one of the most powerful things that we can talk about because labor in our society is filled with fear. It is filled with this, there's an awe that comes with it, absolutely, where people are, wow, women's bodies are incredible. I can't believe they're able to do this. You guys are so powerful. But the flip side of it is this impossible fear. And I hate that that is the first thing that so much of us, that we're just trained throughout our lives to think of, is we just focus on the fear and the pain. And we've lost this connection to the power and the beauty that is labor and birth. And now this is my first baby. I have not gone through labor or childbirth before. But there has been something so incredible about listening to positive birth stories, about hearing these women's experience. The way that women go through childbirth when they choose to Ignore the fear mongering and ignore the focus on the pain that our society just assumes is normal. Once you shift away from that and focus on the beauty and the empowering aspect of childbirth, there's something truly, truly beautiful and powerful that happens. And I'm very focused on having an unmedicated birth and experiencing my labor and not having an epidural. And it always surprises me when people's first question, once I say this, is something along the lines of like, but technology and medicine have come so far, right? Why would you go back to this archaic way of giving birth when so many women died in childbirth and babies died in childbirth? Like the negativity is just so natural that they don't even realize they're doing it. And it's such a huge focus. And I think when we talk about that negativity monster, it isn't always something that's so specific about what you're going through right now. It can be something that society, that your community, that the people you're surrounded by social media, by all of these different influences, that negativity monster can be hiding in the assumptions we make about how things work, in the focus that we have on certain aspects of life when we could choose positivity, we could choose focusing on the beauty. But instead, we choose fear and shame and negativity. And it is a choice, but it's so normal that we don't even realize we're making that choice. And I think back to my experience before getting pregnant and my perspective on pregnancy. And I always thought it was something so beautiful. I always thought it was something so incredible that we're able to do, that our bodies know how to do. But I had no idea how many preconceived emotions, predetermined feelings I had of fear and negativity around pregnancy and around labor and around childbirth and around the newborn stage, talking about how, oh, you're never gonna sleep, talking about how, oh, it's just so hard, you're gonna be so exhausted, you will be a zombie. It is the fact that these are the first things that come to mind, and they may be true. They will probably be a part of your experience at some point. Childbirth is going to hurt. Why is that the focus? Bringing your baby home is going to be hard and challenging and scary. But why is that the focus? Why is that the first thing? Yes, it can be a part of the conversation. Yes, I believe it should be a part of the conversation. But the other things that should be a part of the conversation are our bodies are designed to do this, our bodies are capable of doing this as women. Yes, that newborn stage will be hard, but you're going to experience love in a way you never have before. But you won't even notice how many times you're waking up, maybe because you get to have that beautiful baby there with you. Imagine the excitement and the love being the center of the conversation around this huge moment that's happening, rather than the fear and the negativity and focusing on the pain and the struggle. Imagine how different that would feel. And this is applicable to so many different things. Imagine with your menstrual cycle. Instead of it being, oh, it's gonna hurt so much. I hate it when my period comes. I'm so grumpy and cranky and I just turn into a bitch and it's just such a whole, like, there's so much negativity around it. Imagine if the focus and the shift was, my body is telling me to slow down. So I'm gonna plan to make sure that I'm able to during those 3 or 4 days or 5 days or however long your cycle is. Imagine if the focus is, I'm going to listen to what my body is telling me I need and give my body exactly what it does need. I'm going to nourish my body because my body deserves rest and I can enjoy it. And there's so much guilt around taking time for ourselves and folk, and the fact that it's seen as selfish is one of the worst parts of our world, really, because it really should be celebrated and beautiful and prioritized. Taking time for ourselves, giving ourselves rest, prioritizing, being selfish. That's exactly what we should be doing through life. And there's so many examples of how the negativity ends up being that focus. I think we as women experience it differently than men do because we have so many parts and stages in our lives, whether that's when we're menstruating to if we have children and we go through this pregnancy experience to when we go through menopause. It's a ever-present, constant part of our lives that is filled with shame and misunderstanding and fear. And men experience it too in a very different way. But there's so much negativity around, especially right now, around masculinity. There's so much negativity within this idea of toxic masculinity. And don't get me wrong, there are absolutely moments when that is a valid term. But there's so much beauty within masculinity too that we aren't focusing on. And if we shifted our attention to focusing on empowering boys and men through the beauty of masculinity, through the power of masculinity, rather than focusing on the toxic, negative, dangerous sides of masculinity that are a factor and are present in our world. But what if that wasn't the center of the conversation? What if we got to focus on the wonderful ways that masculinity contributes to our society? I think about the ways that my husband gets to be masculine and how supported I feel when he is thriving within his masculinity, and how I really feel like we are truly partnering within our masculine and feminine balance. And I don't think that always has to do with the fact that we are a man and a woman. I think people find that balance in so many different parts of life. And for us, it just happens to be a big part of our relationship where we're able to support and balance each other out that way. And it's something I experienced when I was in serious committed relationships with women as well. In past relationships, when I got to partner with a woman, it was incredible to see how our different strengths within masculinity and femininity in ourselves balanced each other out as we came together in partnership. Because masculinity isn't something unique to men, and femininity is not something unique to women. It is something that we all have within ourselves, and there should not be shame associated with either one. But right now, there is so much shame connected to toxic masculinity. So many blanket statements that result in people shrinking themselves and hiding. And if we were able to shift into focusing on the beauty and the strength and this empowering aspect of masculinity, I think we would all thrive a little more, maybe. And it's just another aspect of shifting perspectives. Whether you are really focusing on shifting out of negativity, choosing not to engage with that negativity monster, whether that has to do with your day-to-day life or with your societal, the things that we all think are normal and starting to question it, right? If we're able to question the norm if we're able to think, huh, maybe this isn't exactly how things are supposed to go. Maybe this isn't the natural way of things. Because we've aren't it's so easy to get sucked into it all. But shifting their perspectives from negativity into positivity, from fear into gratitude, from shame into beauty is powerful. And it's something I hope you all are able to incorporate into your day a little bit more. We don't need to break down society entirely right now, but if you're able to incorporate it into your individual days, into your relationships, into your just how your life flows, it truly can be a beautiful, beautiful incorporation into your life. And so, okay, we're getting towards the end of our show. And let me just check in with you guys in the chat room before I sign off for the week. And let me see how everyone is doing. And okay, you guys, it looks like I'm so glad that those of you who were able to jump into the chat room said hi. It always makes my day. Thank you. And for the rest of you, I really appreciate you all being here and listening to me today because I love being able to connect with you all this way. And I love that I'm able to connect with all of your energy and provide any messages that are needed to be heard. So thank you all for being here. And that's it for today's show. And I will be back next week. Monday Pacific time at noon, as always, for another episode of Life Journeys. And until then, you can find me at 12listen.com as an advisor. I try to be online as much as I can. You'll definitely find me at least a few hours every day. But I've been trying to sign on in those early hours and stay up a little late just in case I can provide a little bit of guidance and help for anybody who needs it. But if I'm ever not online, you can always schedule a time to chat with me as well. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode of Life Journeys with Serena. And I'm really looking forward to talking to you all next week. And until then, enjoy your week, everyone. Give yourselves grace. And let's all shift into gratitude a little more, okay? Okay, enjoy the rest of your Monday, everybody. Thank you for being here.